And in our study of Jeremiah, God has given it, recorded it for us. So here we are in his presence. So we want to learn, and whatever God has put there, and have a little bit of understanding that we can be the beneficiaries, not only of what it says, but of the moment. And that we are privileged to exercise our heart and mind in understanding. So God, what can we learn from these wonderful passages that you have recorded? So now, in the light of that, we have shared together in the light of Jeremiah chapter 17, that what was happening was continuing to happen, and would continue to happen if nothing changed. If nothing changed, and there was no interest in changing, no interest in repentance, no interest in fixing anything. So Judah and Jerusalem are going on their merry way in spite of everything. And that's what they're doing. So in the light of that, we shared together, whatever's going to happen, will happen. And what is any given moment of time is leading into the next moment of time. So the tomorrow is the result of what was happening today, etc. So it is outworking itself. And so what is happening is going to happen. And we're looking to God to help us in understanding it. Now, in Ezekiel tells us, living at the same time as Jeremiah, and remember, chapter 22, we share together, God is listing the problem, but I'm just going to get you the front of it. In verse 25, there is a conspiracy of her prophets. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. Verse 28. And her prophets. So we got, I didn't mean to verse 27. Verse 25, the prophets. Verse 26, the priest. Verse 27, the princes, the leaders. Verse 28, the people. So there's not many left. That includes everybody. So is anybody interested in fixing it? Well, Jeremiah was. Ezekiel gives a diagnosis of the problem. The solution is something else. And God's going to have to work with what he has and how they're doing. Now, they aren't doing that well at all. So here now, in the light of back over to Jeremiah and chapter 17. Jeremiah and chapter 17. And picking up, if I can, in there. Try that. In the light of that. So, God, Jeremiah, here's the Israel, prophets, priests, princes, people. They're all doing what they're doing. And they aren't interested in changing anything. It's just going to keep going the way they're going. And therefore, the world around us is going the way it's going. But, and we need to understand that. Everything is moving where it's been, where it was, where it is, to where it's going. That's what it's doing. So now, but here's Jeremiah in the midst of the flow. But he isn't going with the flow. That's the point. The people, everything around him is moving in the wrong direction. But Jeremiah is not. His heart is rightly aligned with God. It is in tune with God, in touch with God. And what was happening, what was going to happen, etc., Jeremiah is making it known very clearly of where they were and what was going to be and why it was going to be. So in the middle of all of the conditions, in the midst of it all, Jeremiah, we shared together last time, is right in the middle of it. And he's been in the middle of it for years, not just days and not months. He's all these years until 586 BC. So here he is in the middle of it. Now, when you're in the middle of that, and the environment all around him was not getting better, it was getting worse, worse and worser. And that's where it was. So now, when you're in the middle of that, the thick of that, you're getting slaughtered mentally and spiritually and even physically. So you're being pushed. There's no way to get relief. Everything is in contention, in contest, in corruption. There's no way to go. So you get, and people, they want to kill him. They want to put him in prison. They will. And all of it. So he's getting beat up mentally and getting beat up physically, even in the sense of his body is being worn out in all of it. Now, in the process of that, we shared that together. So now, in the light of that lesson, last time, we shared together, in the midst of all of that, Jeremiah is going to take a stand. He's going to take a stand, address himself, and he's going to take a position. He's going to go. He intends to run the race. He intends to go into the arena and in contest, in the game, whatever. He's going to go in contest. He's set to go. And he's going to arrest the pressures on to deteriorate, to take away from him, to wear him, to weary him, to get him down and down and out and out and out. That's the pressure that he's facing. And he determines he's not going to let that happen. Therefore, when we share together, and remember now, I'll go just to give a little more background to that again, chapter 15, in chapter 15, and we noted Jeremiah is in one of, he's being beat up now. This is the part that he's in trouble. He needs to fix it. And just chapter 15, verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual? My wound, there's the word we looked at last time. Wound, bruise, beaten, blows. Why is my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me a liar, as the waters that fail? God said, God, you're supposed to be. Why aren't you? What's happening? What's wrong? And then, of course, verse 19, God cuts him off and gets him to correct things. Now, back over, if you would, to chapter 17. In chapter 17, picking up, so Jeremiah, looking in chapter 17, verse 14, he says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Now, we share that together. He's wounded. He needs attention. He needs restoration. He needs to be healed, to be have a recovery, a soundness of mind and heart and body, and he's looking. He's looking for the medic. He's looking for the relief. He isn't trying to leave the battlefield. He isn't doing that. He isn't doing that at all. What he's doing is he just needs to understand. He knows he's getting beat up. He has to be refreshed. It's like being in a boxing match, and the bell rings, and you can go in the corner and get refreshed a little bit before you go to the next round. So he's looking for that. Now, in the light of that, so he's looking for that wonderful healing and restoration. And in chapter 10, back over there, chapter 10, reminding all these little truths that help us, so we understand. God, you're able to do wonderful things, but we have to be determined that we aren't going to flow with the tide, and we're going to try to hold the line and run the race. So here's Jeremiah. Remember back in chapter 10, we shared together, going, if I may, directly to verse 19 again. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. Jeremiah, you understand? You aren't going to leave. You can't run away. No, I've got to carry on and work through it. So here we are, all the bumps and bruises and everything else that goes with the battlefield. All of that's taking place. And thus, he must bear everything. Back over to chapter 17. And in verse 50, behold, they say, this is what they were saying, unto me, they said to Jeremiah, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. In other words, you've been telling us month after month, year after year, the enemy, the Nebuchadnezzar is coming, the city's going to be leveled, temple's all gone. You keep saying it over and over again and over and over again. Where is it, Jeremiah? Show us or shut up. Now, verse 18. Jeremiah now is reacting to that. Let them be confounded that persecute me. Let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction, a full, complete destruction. God, you said it, you mean it, it's going to happen, and they're pouting off and shouting off, well, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen, it must not ever going to be happen, therefore, go away, Jeremiah. Now, having said that, so rightly, Jeremiah is addressing the situation and seeking to do what he should as best he can. Now, we shared in chapter 17 and verse 14, we shared together in the process, we shared, heal me, that's a command, heal me, and if you heal me, I'm going to be healed. There's no, God, whatever you do perfectly and wonderfully. So God, when you want to do what you do it. And so God, what's Jeremiah looking for? He's looking, he says, I need help, I need recovery, I need restoration. And God, I need it, and if you do it, I'm going to have it. I'm going to be healed of my wound, etc. Now, and the second part in the light of that, save me, same as the heal me command, save me, cause me to be saved, cause me to be healed, cause me to make me saved, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So Jeremiah moves forward, etc., and he said, save me. Now, the little word save, the verb you're looking at, is to be, think of the word narrow, something very narrow. The opposite of being very narrow. Think of danger all on every side, all around you, and closing in. You're surrounded, as it were. Think of that word. The word saved is the opposite of being surrounded. No wall, no surroundings. You're free. You're free. You're free. You're free. Wide, to be very wide, not narrow. That's the verb, to be wide, not narrow. And to be delivered, to be rescued, to be set free. And thus the word is translated in causative, to make something wide, to deliver, to help, to support, to give victory. That's the word. Save me, God, cause me to be saved, and I will be saved. Now, having said that, so he's looking to God to do, not only to heal him, he doesn't want to just get healed. He wants to be able to be rescued so that they can be in the battlefield and not be a casualty again quite so easy. He's going to be, but not quite so easy. So now in the process of that, going to be saved. Now, what is Israel? On the one hand, we didn't do it, but if we did. On the one hand, Israel doesn't want to be healed. They don't want to be healed. Jeremiah wants to be healed. Israel doesn't want to be saved. They don't want to be saved. Jeremiah wants to be saved. Two different worlds, two different directions, and God, and that's what we're looking at. The world, the system all around us, doing one thing, and the heart, the believing heart, responding in a whole different manner. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over if you would to Jeremiah chapter 2. In Jeremiah chapter 2, you're going to recall, on Israel's end, they didn't want to be saved. And God said it, and it helps us because we often are counting on our something to support, to save us. And when we are desperate and we have run out of everything, then we turn. Think of people, the war and sickness and trouble, and people handle it. But then when it gets out of hand, pray. They look to God. Pray, pray, pray. Well, that's what we do. Well, that's a human. That's us, our humanness. And our humanness says, well, listen, as long as we can do it in our own way, in our own thinking, we do it. And we're comfortable doing it. And we don't look to God. We aren't really trusting God then. We aren't counting on God. That doesn't mean you don't use your head and heart when you're adding up numbers, etc. It just means you want you can be do all of that and totally disconnect from God's wonderful person and presence. That's what Israel was doing. So in chapter 2, verse 27, the Lord, they're saying to a stalk, thou art my father, and to a stone thou hast brought me forth, for they have turned their back unto me, and not their face. But in the time of their trouble, they will say, arise and save us. Remember, you call for help when you're in trouble, but otherwise you don't need help. Verse 28, but where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according to the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. In other words, you got a god for everything, a god all over, gods all over the place. That's what you've got. Now, chapter 11. Picking up in chapter 11. And if I may, in chapter 11, in verse 12. 11:12. You'll get the write-off directly in the light of the context. Then shall the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem go and cry unto the gods that they're trusting, unto whom they offer incense in every city. They get all these gods. Unto whom they offer incense. But they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. It just isn't going to work, not at all. So now, chapter 5. And again, we have a bit of information that's helpful to us. The problem, what is the problem? It's a heart problem. Chapter 5, Jeremiah, verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely. Remember the prophets, priests, princes, people in Ezekiel. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule, subjection, by their means, by how they are united to hold their hands in power. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do, like priests, like people? You're all going to pay a price for that. Because you love it. You like the way it runs. You like the way the system runs. We want systems that honor what we like. And when they don't work, then we call and look for God to come in and rescue us, so the world does. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, in chapter 8, while you're here, to remind you on that one, in chapter 8, may I pick up in verse 15. We looked for peace. Remember, they're all looking saved. They're trying to get saved. Idols, etc. We looked for peace. No good came. For a time of health or healing, and behold, trouble. Sliding down, verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. There's your word saved again. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonished. Astonishment hath taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health, the healing of the daughter of my people recovered? Why aren't they looking and getting medical attention and getting healed? Because they don't want to. They love it so. They don't want it. Now, what do you do to help people that love it so? You don't do anything. You have to do like Corinthians in that. Let the ignorant what? Be ignorant. You have to let it go. You'd like to help them, but you can't. And you have to let it go. So now, here they are. Here's Israel, Judah, Jerusalem. And they don't want to be healed. And they don't want to be saved. No, they want to be saved. Neither one of them. They don't want that. So now, over in chapter 15, let me just point something out. Remember, they're going to be saved. Chapter 15. And Jeremiah said, cause me to be rescued, delivered, saved, and I will surely be saved and delivered. So God, you heal me and make it so that I'm able to be fit for battle, etc. Now, chapter 15, remember now what God has promised Abraham. Isaac, Jacob, and thus ultimately Jeremiah. Chapter 15, verse 20. And I will make thee unto this people a fence, brazen wall. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. Why not? For I am with thee to save thee. I'm going to be there. Remember Jeremiah says, chapter 17, verse 14, save me and I'll be saved. Well, God said, when all of that happens, when all of those things are there, they're all against you, but I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. So God, you're going to do that. And you promise to do that. Is Jeremiah wrong in looking for God to save him, to rescue him, to help him in time of need? Not at all. God made a commitment. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, did God save you or didn't he? And if he saved you, and he did, if he saved you, if you received him as your Savior, he saved you. And he meant you to be saved. He meant you to stay saved. He meant you to enjoy being saved. So when you say, God, I'm in trouble, and I'm not enjoying your saving grace, would I be wrong? Would the believer be wrong in looking for God to rescue his heart, her heart, from depression, discouragement, and everything under the sun, to rescue us in time of trouble? Absolutely. Absolutely. So now, God, are you going to consist? Are you going to keep doing that through Jeremiah's history? Israel, yes, I am. Over, if you would, to chapter 11. Chapter 30, excuse me. Jeremiah chapter 30. And may I pick up, please, in chapter 30 and go to verse 11 in the light of the context. Verse 10 even, chapter 30, verse 10. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord, neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. So God, you have a wonderful plan, right? Verse 11, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, I'm going to judge them all, including Babylon. Whether I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. You're going to get a spanking. That's what you're going to get. That's what you have in 1 Corinthians 11. We are not condemned with the world. We judge ourselves, so we're not judged. And we're not condemned. But we are chastened. God chastens you. If he loves you, he chastens you. He chastens his own. Israel, are you going to let people go unpunished? No, they're going to have to pay a price. David paid, didn't he? David paid a price. He did. God blessed him. God blessed him marvelously. He was God's man. But God blessed him. and he paid a price. And thus, Jeremiah, the people are going to pay a price. And Jeremiah, you hang in there, one other place, you'll see it, all the way over to Babylon. If I can, over to chapter 42. And again in verse 11, chapter 42, and in verse 11. And you'll note, "Be not afraid of the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Be not afraid of him." They're going to end up going into captivity, remember, saith the Lord. "But don't be afraid." Why not? "For I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand." I'm going to save you. So you're going to go there. In the enemy's hand, that's right. Are you going to be safe? Jeremiah, are you safe in the enemy's hand? You are surrounded by an enemy. That's your own people, Israel. Are you safe? Absolutely. When Babylon, when Israel is taken into captivity and goes to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar is a cruel king. But God, are you going to spare Israel? Absolutely. I'll save you. So follow my lead and let me take and help you in, as you go down the corridor of time. So now, having said that a little bit, Psalm 71. So God, we want to look at it from our little heart. God, we understand the need of healing, so we can certainly look to you for that. We certainly don't need to be down when we should be up. And no matter what pain, heartache, and all of those different things that we have, can have, God, you're greater than that. And we aren't trusting that anyway. We're trusting you. So here's Psalm 71. And Psalm 71, help us. God's going to help us. Time of revival and renewal, as it were. So Psalm 71, verse 1. "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Thine, incline thine ear unto me," and there's your little causative verb, "save me," same as in Jeremiah chapter 14. "Save me. Be thou my strong habitation, my dwelling place, whereunto I am continually, where I may continually resort and have refuge. Thou hast given commandment to save me," there's your word again, "for thou art my rock and my fortress." Now, God, looking to you, you're able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. Over to Psalm 71, let me move a little differently. Over to Psalm 106, do a little different. Psalm 106 will do it. Psalm 106, Israel's rebellion. And now in there, starting if I can, in 106, verse 7. "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, God saved them." He saved them, there's your word. He caused them to be saved. Why did he do it? For his namesake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He had a wonderful objective, is to show all of the nations, by as Israel crossed safely, the Egyptian army could not. So here we are looking, verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths of the, as through the wilderness, and he saved, there's your word, he saved them from the hand of him that hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. So, God, you're always doing that. They don't appreciate it, but God, you're doing it in your wonderful way. They do what they do, but God, you do what you do. Israel is ultimately going to come out of Babylon into Ezra, Nehemiah, ultimately to the Lord Jesus Christ, and ultimately into the millennium. Now, having said that little bit, over, if you would please, over in verse 19. We'll pick it up again. Verse 19. Remember, in the wilderness now, rehearsing yesterday's history, they made a calf in Horeb, Mount Sinai, and worshiped the molten image. Thus they changed the glory, their glory into the similitude of likeness of an ox that eateth grass. They forgot God, their Savior, there's your word, which had done great things in Egypt. They forgot. Verse 46. Many times did he deliver them, but they provoked him with their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction when he heard their cry. And he remembered for them his covenant, and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. That's why he did it. He made them also to be pitied of all those that carried them captives. Save us, there's your word, verb. Save us. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the heathen. Rescue us. What for? To give thanks unto thy holy name, and to triumph in thy praise. God, rescue us so that we can triumph in your praise. God, we want to get... Jeremiah, what are you asking for? Heal me and save me. God, I don't want to lose thanksgiving. I don't want to lose the fact that you are our hope. You are our help. You are a present, wonderful helper, to say the least. God, you're our God. I don't want any other God. I don't want to have anything else except you. So here's Jeremiah looking, and God, are you going to rescue him? Yes, he is. Is God going to rescue Israel ultimately? Yes, he is. He is going to do that. And what are they praying for? What should you be praying for? Get me back into the place where my heart is right with you, that I might triumph in thy praise. Now, use that in thy praise, and go over with me, back over to Jeremiah. And to Jeremiah chapter 17. And you will note in chapter 17, if I can, and in verse 14, we looked at him. Heal me, a command. God, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. I know, God, you're going to do it. Save me, command. I know you can do it, God. I'm looking for you to do it. I'm not messing around, God. I'm giving you a request, almost as like a command, like Isaiah. God says, ask me. Show me. Ask me what you want. And Jeremiah says, I want to be healed, and I want to be saved. I want to be delivered and rescued. And why do you want to do those things? So that you can what? About you, Jeremiah. It's nothing about you, Jeremiah. Is it about Israel and Jerusalem? No. Why do you want to be healed? Why do you want to be delivered? That I might, verse 14, for thou art my praise. You are my praise. God, you are my praise. Now the word praise, a verb, praise, has to do with sounding, making sound, a resounding sound, like on an echo in the mountain, a big valley, and the sound goes out in the valley in the right kind of place, and it comes right back to you, goes out and back and forth, resounding, sounding is the word, to be bright, shining bright, thus the word, clearly, to shine clearly, and to give a sound. And at the same time, not only to give a sound, but to shine forth, to say, to sound, to show, to sound, to shine, to save. And God, so to God, what are you looking for? God, Jeremiah says, I want to be in the place where I am sounding forth and showing forth and shining forth. Like in the echo in the valley, just I say it, you say it, God, and it comes. You say it to me, it bounces off of me, said Jeremiah, and comes right. You do the healing, God, and the healing bounces off of me and comes right back to you. You do the saving, God. You save me. It bounces off of me and heads right back to you. Wow. Praise. That's what I want. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm looking for, God. Not anything else. Thus, in chapter 13, and you will note, you remember when we did this, God, you did, remember he took the garment, the girdle, and put it in the Euphrates in the ground, left it there, the cloth rotted, and all he had is a rotten cloth. He said, that's what's going to happen to Israel. Rotten. Going to go over there and get rotten. No. Thus, what should they have known, understood? Verse 11. 13:11. As the girdle cleaveth to the loins of a man, so have I caused to cleave unto me the whole house of Israel, the whole house of Judah, saith the Lord. Why do you want to have such a relationship to Judah and Israel? That they might be unto me for a people and for a name and for a praise, there's your word, and for a glory. I have a wonderful purpose for them. To be saved, healed, saved. Jeremiah, you got it. They don't. People around you, do they have it? Do you have it? That's the question. Do you want to be healed? Not anyone else, a family, friend. Do you want to be? Do you want him saved? Do you want to be saved? You have to stand there all by you, put a circle. It's you. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need. So God, do the work. I'm not trying to solve anybody else's life. Work out your what? Own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you. God, work it out. Here I am. And God, do it. We aren't looking for something, because then we start looking. God, I'm looking for you to help me, and I'm reaching over here. Help, you're going to help this? You're going to do this? Are you going to do that? Are you? And I got all these little things to do. And they all detract and take away from what? My concentration, my single-heartedness in looking to God. Honor yourself. I'm not interested. Healing's a minor. God saved. I got all these other things, God. That's the trouble. We got too many things that we have no control over, and we're way out of whack, often out of whack doing it. We should be looking for God to do it. Now, have we said that? Chapter 9. And you'll see our little word again. In chapter 9, remember in verse 23 when we read great sections. Chapter 9, verse 23. Thus saith the Lord. Remember now, we're looking at the word. I want to be saved. I want to be healed. I want to be in the place. The reason I want anything, God, I want to be able to be. You are my praise. This is all about you, God. So whatever you're going to do, it's about you. Not about me. Not about anyone else. It's about you. Verse 23, 9 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory, there's your little word, praise, glory, in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory, there's your word, in his might, let not the rich man glory, there's your word, in his riches. Verse 24, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God, Jeremiah wants to be in the place to honor God in whatever it is. Work, home, school, play, at any moment, God, I want you to be honored. I want you to be honored at my work. I want you to be honored at what I have to do, what I'm going through, whatever, working out. God, I want you to be honored in it. I want to be thankful in it. I want to be thoughtfully thankful in all of it, God. So now, over if you would, please. Oh, Psalm 71 again. In Psalm 71, if I may, picking up in verse 5, Thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By Thee have I holden up from the womb. Thou art He that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of Thee. Wow. My praise, yes, your word. My praise. God, that's why I was born. I was born to know You and honor You. I want to exercise that. So in the midst of it all, I'm not in a world. I'm in a world that's been condemned. Calvary's cross, world system, satanic system, excludes God totally. Therefore, sliding in chapter 6, Psalm 71, verse 8. Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day long. So God, I'm looking for that. I want to have that. Work, home, school, as we shared. I want to do that. I want to be able to thank You for who You are so that I can do the little things that I do the best I can, trusting You with all my heart. And we make 1,000 mistakes, and we go through the mistakes and the mistakes and the mistakes. And that's what we do. And we learn from them. We learn from them. That's how we learn. We learn. I had to do the checkbook balance in the process. And in the process, I made a mistake back here in the column. And I made a mistake. And it was a stupid mistake. But I went, anyway, you don't care what it was. Anyway, but in the process, and do you know how long I spent on that? I said, how can that be wrong? I added everything up and everything came out right. It all should have been right. It would have been right if I hadn't made a mistake. Now, I had to do that. And I said, God, thank You. Thank You for that. I said, it's my fault, God. And God said, I know it. That's right. So, there we go. Now, God, and verse 14, but I will hope continually and yet praise Thee more and more. There's your word. We're going to keep looking to God, expectingly, anticipating, and we're going to, what for what? To praise You more and more and more and more and more. That's what we're going to do. That's what You want. That's right. Isaiah 43. You're going to praise God. Everything, all we're doing is locking on. That's what people do. That's what the heart does. Whether you read this or read that, the heart's looking to praise God and honor God. Isaiah 43. And if I can, directly in that wonderful statement. Isaiah 43, in the midst of all of the great truths, picking up, if I may, indirectly in verse 21. This people, Israel, have I formed as a carver, formed, made, this people have I formed for what? Myself. Now, God, why did You save us? For Yourself. And they shall, Israel, show forth My praise. They're going to go and show forth My praise. My wonderful shining. They're going to echo. They're going to reflect what I say. They're going to agree with what I say. They're going to shine like the sun. I shine. And they're going to shine. That's what they're going to do. My people are going to say it and show it, shining forth. That's what they're going to do. And that's what's going to happen. That's what You meant happen, God. That's why we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. If we would practice it. Out here, no one's going to know the difference. But in your heart, you know the difference. God is a wonderful thing. So now, having said that in closing, over if you would, please. Oh, to where? Over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, may I pick up, please, in verse 7. I need to get a little context, verse 6. Herein greatly you rejoice, though now for a season, if need be. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations, being put to the test, the trial, in the trouble. Verse 7, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found. How so? How so? Unto praise, there's your word, praise and honor and glory at the appearing Jesus Christ. So in the midst of it, you're going through whatever, however, God, I got it, a little. I want it to be coming around where you're honoring me, showing forth, shining forth. You're looking for me to be the total, the beginning and end of your little life. That's what I want. Heal me, and I should be healed. Save me, and I should be saved. God, that's what you want. That's what I want. Unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Closing, Hebrews. Hebrews right next door. Almost next door. Hebrews chapter 13. What are we going to do then? Well, God, remember Jeremiah's in a tough place. He isn't going to move. God isn't going to make it go away. You're in the world. There's no part of the world that isn't the world. And you're going to be in trouble. So therefore, God, what are we supposed to be doing? We're supposed to be looking to you. That's right. Verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify, set apart the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, let it outside, the Jews rejected him, Jerusalem rejected him, etc. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, the abuse. They're assailing him. They don't want it. Don't want anything to do with him. For here, verse 14, have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, since we're here in this foreign territory, since we're here until he comes, God leaving us in the world like Jeremiah, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. What are we going to do? Here we are, and you're trying to say, I wish this were different. Well, they may not be different. And it may stay that way. It may always be that way. Even after you're gone. Therefore, God, I want to get Jeremiah. I want to get the message. Heal me. Save me. In the midst of the thick, in the middle of the thick and thin of it, I want to be saved. I want to look to you, God. I want my whole point is, God, I want to thank you. I want to look to you and resound. I want to shine to be a little light. I want to be a little voice speaking and showing and understanding your word. God, that's what I want. I'm looking for you, God, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, to show forth the excellencies of thy person. God, that's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. So God, it wasn't hard. Jeremiah, what did you do? It wasn't about work. It wasn't about your job. It wasn't about school. It wasn't about your health. It wasn't about your friends. It wasn't about your family. It wasn't about anybody. It was just about you and me, individually, and God. When you're all done, come and go, work, home, just you. I want to be to your praise, to the praise and honor and glory at your soon coming.